You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse
you. All righty. Welcome to the best hour in radio from coast to coast and heard all the way around the world. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, and you are in touch with the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., and this is radio the way it should be heard. Hope that you are doing well, and we do thank you for listening to today's program. And our special guest, as always, live from Washington, D.C., as I see the phone lines are jumping, is Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And let me start off by saying, Mr. Fuller, on this day, how are you doing? Okay, Mr. Fuller?
Hello, I'm still learning.
You're still learning. Okay, I got a little concerned there. Okay. All righty. Before we get into the show, I want to talk a little bit about your book, because I did receive, when I walked in the studio this morning, some communication. I cannot pronounce this guy's name, but the first name is Ricardo. But he's in the Netherlands, and he wanted to purchase your book, which is the United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, a textbook workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of racism, which is white supremacy. He indicated that he had trouble getting your book, Mr. Fuller, using the credit card or whatever. I don't know the situation over in the Netherlands, but could you briefly describe how a person can get your book, and again, the title, without me messing it up?
Well, he can, right now, no one overseas or even in Canada can get the book through the process in which it's set up now. I'm in the process, I'd like to say this to people all over the world, I'm in the process of trying to get set up so that I can facilitate them receiving the book with ease. Right now, I'm going through a lot of complications in trying to do that, but I'm trying to eliminate these complications so that the book can be sent to Africa and different places, Europe. Sometimes I get books through to the parts of the UK,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes to Canada. But right now, it's not a smooth operation.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get that set up. So I want to say to people all over the world who are trying to get the book, there's no way to get it now. I mean, except through someone who will just bring it directly to you that you know. I mean, it goes back and forth. But within the next few months, I'm trying to work out something where I can get it sent through the mail, regular mailing system.
Okay. But now those in the United States can go to
producejustice.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that shouldn't be any problem at all. What will come up on the screen is a brief description of the basic textbook, and then there's an additional book called A Compensatory Counter-Racist Codified Word Guide, and it's an addition to the basic book.
Okay.
And, the method for ordering. A brief description of both books is there on that website,
mm-hmm.
and the method for ordering.
Okay.
Producejustice.com.
All righty. All righty. Before we get into our phone calls and letters, I was looking at trends today, and I'm going to ask you a question, Mr. Fuller. Walter Scott, Justice Howell, Philip White, Eric Harris, and Eddie Gray. Are those names familiar with you?
Most of them are. I sometimes get them kind of mixed up because it's getting to be a blur now.
Yes.
Of names that keep coming up.
Yes.
And I anticipated that this would happen because it's an ongoing thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I say that there will be more of it, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Actually, my view of it, we're talking about black males who have been gunned down, presumably illegally, by white law enforcement officers.
Or race soldiers, huh?
Well, because that's the term that I use.
I like that term.
Or suspected race soldiers.
Suspected race soldiers.
I think that should be on some of the signs.
Mm-hmm.
Banned race soldiers from every law enforcement department. I don't like the term police brutality because there are a lot. You have to have law enforcement officers.
Yes, sir.
I believe in law enforcement officers. I mean, it's painful to a lot of law enforcement officers who are out here trying to do the correct thing.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes they have to be in the same squad car with someone who's a race soldier, and that's got tension right there. And, you know, this is why you even on some law enforcement facilities, you have black police unions. I mean, they call them that, literally.
Mm-hmm.
The black police union. Why should you have a black police union in a police department? It's either a police department or it's not. But they sort of separate themselves because they, I think, it's a reaction to the race soldiers that they perceive to be right there in the department working with them or supposed to be working with them because they're not working with them. If you're a racist and you call yourself a police officer, you are not a police officer. That should be made clear. It should be a huge line between the terms police and race soldiers. A race soldier is something like a Gestapo. I mean, with all of the Hitlerian baggage that goes with that, it means, you know, we believe in racism. If you believe in racism, you're not a police officer. If you even think racist, you're not a police officer. Nowhere in the world. You don't qualify to be on anybody's law enforcement force. I mean, that should be a heavy line between those two things.
Yes, sir.
They shouldn't be blurred at all. Black people have even bought into it that it's possible to have a police officer who's a racist. That's absolutely absurd. I mean, the minute he has a racist thought in his head, he has disqualified himself or herself from being any kind of law enforcement officer anywhere on the planet. You don't have any business enforcing anything. You need to be somewhere in a hole, somewhere hiding from everybody, because that's what you're qualified to be. And that should be made clear. No more race soldiers anywhere on the planet.
Yes, sir.
On any law enforcement. Don't even come into a court talking about anything. You're not qualified to even make a remark about anything. You are completely persona non grata everywhere.
Everywhere.
Racists are not welcome on this planet. That should be in any setting. Law
mm-hmm.
enforcement, economics, education, shouldn't be a teacher. If you're a racist, what are you doing teaching? And you believe in racism? You're not qualified to be a teacher. You shouldn't be opening your mouth to anybody about anything because you're going to say the incorrect things. Get out of here. Find another planet.
Okay.
We got to get real serious about this thing called racism because it's messed up the entire world.
Yes, sir. Walter Scott was gunned down in North Charleston, South Carolina. Justice Howe shot twice in the back outside Chicago 3 hours after the murder of Walter Scott. Philip White in New Jersey, whose face was chewed off by a canine dog, bled to death while officers tried to seize a video from a witness. Eric Harris from Tulsa shot in the back, and officer, as he was saying, he was trying to breathe, and an officer responded, F your breath. And lately, Philip Gray from Baltimore, savagely beaten by suspected race soldiers until his spine was severed in three places while he was in the police van, whatever it was, collapsed his voice box and then died 7 days after the agony. This has got to stop. Let's go to the phone lines. Which line, Galen? Line number one? Number two. Wait a minute. Line number five? Okay. Line number five, you are on. What is your question for Mr. Neely Fuller?
Hello, is this me?
This is you. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I have a question for Mr. Fuller. It's in two parts. Mr. Fuller, do you see white people as your enemies? Or do you, like, respect them and think they have a lot of information?
Do I see white people as my enemy?
Yeah.
No. White people are just people who are white. Why would I have a person be my enemy because that person is white? It's when the person is white and the person starts practicing mistreatment based on the non-color, based on non-color white against color, which is non-white. That's black, brown, red, yellow, beige, tan, people who are classified as non-white.
Okay, let me rephrase it.
I am definitely against those white people who believe in practicing white supremacy.
Right,
meaning
that's
mistreating
what I meant.
People based on color. And
right,
everybody
right.
on the planet should be against them. And don't apologize for being against them because
right.
they need to change from being racist to being non-racist.
Okay, so the racists, do you see them as your enemies?
Oh, they are. They declared themselves to be the enemy. A racist is a person who has declared himself or herself to be the enemy of anybody that the Creator has made in the category of what you call a non-white person, a person that has skin in his, I mean, a color in his or her skin. And that's what a racist is. Just pick out a person that's got color in their skin and say, oh, there's a person that I'm eligible to mistreat. That's a person that's eligible to be mistreated by anybody who is classified as white. And as a white person, I'm going to walk across the street and slap that person or shoot that person or kick that person or spit on that person or tell that person that you don't even have the right to exist on the same street where I'm walking. You know, get out of my way because I'm a white person and you have color in your skin and I am ordained to mistreat you. That's my mission in life. And all the jokes that I tell are supposed to be about you. And all the houses that I build are supposed to be making them, if they're nice houses, off limits to you. You're supposed to be miserable as long as I'm around. If I'm anywhere around you, I'm supposed to figure out a way to make you miserable. Why? Because you have color in your skin. And you say, well, what kind of logic is that? Say, that's my logic, boy. That's my logic, gal. Get used to it. This is the real world. This is the world that I have created. This is the world that I want. Why? Because it gives me fame. It gives me glory. I have fun doing it, and I get a lot of material benefits. That's why, and I'm going to continue to do it as long as I can. I think this way. I don't intend to change. So when a person presents themselves like that to me, it's my job to say, well, why not just have a world dominated by justice where no one is mistreated and where everybody who wants help, constructive help, gets it,
yes.
Because justice is better than racism, sir, ma'am. If you think about it, justice may be a better way to run the planet rather than running the planet by going around mistreating people because the Creator gave them some color in their skin. That's not okay. Logical.
All righty. Thank you for your call, caller.
No, sir, I was leading to this.
Well, you asked for two questions, and we gave you two, sweetie. We really do have to go on. Thank you, though. I'm sorry. We have to go on. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, we only have limited time, so I really can't go on with that. But maybe you can call or, you know, at another time. And don't forget your question, but call it another time. You're listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. That is radio the way it should be heard. And we are going to go to line number four. Okay. All right. Line number four, what is your question for Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr.?
Can I be heard?
You can be heard. What is your question for Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr.?
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Mr. Fuller, after reading your book, I've developed a higher level of awareness and self-respect. In addition, I spend my time doing a lot of constructive things, such as reading, thinking, having conversations about white supremacy, and trying to live a stress-free life as possible. After developing an awareness of how white supremacy works and using my time constructively, I wanted to know, is it okay for me to feel a sense of disconnection from black people in terms of the negative behaviors that they exhibit under white supremacy, as well as not being able to connect with white people due to accepting my status as a victim of white supremacy?
The voice came across very thin, or I might have defective hearing, too. I got to remind the audience of that. So sometimes I don't hear the questions very clearly. And
okay.
So is there any way you can make
right,
that question more direct and
sir.
More amplified?
Yeah, kind of simplify the question, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
So what I'm saying here is that after reading your book and becoming more aware of how white supremacy works and just using my time constructively, I'm, like, starting to feel disconnected being around black people in terms of the negative behaviors that they demonstrate. And, you know, I don't feel connected being around white people due to accepting my status as a victim on the system. So I wanted to know, is that okay for me to feel this way?
Oh, feeling disconnected to
yes.
around white people?
And black people.
And black people. Oh, sure, that goes with the territory, because we are in an artificial situation. And once you start thinking in a non-artificial manner, by that I mean, once you start using logic, you would naturally feel kind of alienated from a situation that never should have existed in the first place. This thing called racism is something that never should have been invented. That's invented by people. There's no such thing as race. That's something invented. That's just something that was made up as a political and a religious doctrine based on just mistreating people based on color. There's no reason for people to be mistreated based on color, or the size of the ears, or because one person is tall and another person is short. There's no reason to mistreat anybody. People are different. It's just a difference, that's all. But the white supremacists made an institution out of it, made an entire world government out of it, and going around, I mean, just swimming in glory about it. And everybody's falling in line behind it. So when you're around people who are practicing racism, and racism is being practiced everywhere, and you're around other people, the non-white people, who are reacting to the racism that's being practiced, and both the racist itself is artificial, and the reaction to the racist is artificial, you have an artificial world. And when you start coming out of your artificiality, then you feel alienated. That goes with the territory. And you're going to feel like you're out of place. But you're not out of place. Everybody around you is out of place. because you have an artificial situation, something that never should have existed in the first place. It's like you're in poisonous water, and the water is not supposed to be poisonous. So you're reacting to the poisonous water. Well, yes, yes, because the water is poison. Your body is being poisoned. Your mind is being poisoned. Why? Because you're standing over your head in poisonous water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Did you have another question there, caller, before we
move on? No, just a quick comment, and I'll go. I just want to say, Dr. Fuller, thank you for writing that book. It has saved me in a lot of situations in terms of modifying my thoughts and behaviors and action. Thank you again.
All righty. Thank you so much, caller, for your call. Mr. Fuller, the Justice Department is going to investigate the situation in Baltimore, Maryland, which you're about, what, 40 or 50 miles away from there, Ferdy Gray. Since you're in the vicinity, do you think that people have confidence in the justice system, or just what do you think about the situation, period? How can a black man be in the confines of a police department and have his spine broken? That's just mind-boggling to me. Could you respond?
We're in a system of white supremacy in all nine areas of activity worldwide. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. This is the government of the entire world. Racism is the only government on this planet. The government of white supremacists. That's the name of the government. It's called the system of white supremacy. That is the government of the planet Earth. There are no other governments. So what you call law enforcement brutality, race soldiering, which is the way I express it in the word guide, is dominant everywhere. And you're not going to get rid of it until you get rid of the system of white supremacy and replace it with a system of justice. You don't have a system of justice anywhere on the planet. Justice cannot exist in the system of white supremacy. That's a given. It can't exist anywhere on the planet. There's no such thing as justice being practiced any place on the planet. Now, having said that, you know, a person might ask a logical question. Justice doesn't exist anywhere on the planet? No, it doesn't. You can't have white supremacy and justice on the same planet at the same time. Why? Because white supremacy is about mistreatment. Mistreatment is not about justice. So what is justice? Justice is guaranteeing that no person is mistreated. So you can't have mistreatment and justice in the same system because they are incompatible. And it's not but one system. That's the system of white supremacy, and it's all about mistreating people. Mm-hmm. It's not about anything else. Looking at a person and saying, you have color in your skin, and therefore you're supposed to be shot or beat up or laughed at or ridiculed or made to feel sorry for yourself and just be hounded all the time, just to be joked about all the time. I mean, never given any kind of information that's going to be constructive to you. Feel your veins full of all kind of poison called drugs and whatnot, and then stand back and laugh at you like they did depicted in the movie The Godfather, Godfather 1. They said, hey, we're not going to have this drugs all spread out. We hope that we don't have it spread out among the white people. I mean, it might happen. I mean, one of the Dons said that that's what he thought might happen. He said, we're just going to sell it to the coloreds, the dark people. Let them lose their souls. They're nothing but animals anyway. And so by 1984, that became true in the Northwestern Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
That movie came out in 1972. All right, by 1984, about 12 years later, that was real. But it did spread, like one of the Dons, played by Marlon Brando, said mm-hmm. that, hey, it might infect our own children eventually. You just can't keep it among the dark people. That's what you're talking about doing. But maybe it'll spread among us ourselves, and then we'll have a problem. See what I mean? But the point was, anything that has to do with garbage, dump it on the dark-skinned people anywhere in the world, including literally garbage. Because I have read articles down through the years about people taking their garbage and putting it on barges and taking it wherever dark people are, Congo, Guinea, different parts of what they call the dark continent.
Yes.
And just dumping it in the water. And then the people wind up getting sick. I mean, that might be where Ebola comes from. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Let's go to line number six. Thank you, Galen. Line number six. What is your call for Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr.? Go ahead.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard.
My question for Mr. Fuller is about slavery. I got into a discussion with a gentleman the other day, and basically was like, you can't really be mad because you enslaved yourself. And I went with the logic, and logic kind of told me, follow the footprint. And 1921, you got the Black Wall Street segregation. And just what you were talking about earlier with this, the black mental gentleman being gunned down. And then I go back to 1600, 1700, 1800. How can you have a black man who was a slave owner and conducting business like a white man when in the 1900s, he wasn't even looked at as an equal? So I just wanted his response on that.
Mr. Fuller?
Here again, I'm trying to get the cogency of the question, the essence of the question.
So basically,
how can you have a black man do what?
How can you have a black man be a slave owner and be looked at as an equal in 1600, 1700, and you go to the 1900s, and you have Black Wall Street and it's burned down, you got black men being gunned down to this day? And I'm looking at the logic telling me, how can I have a black man go and conduct business like a white man in 1600 and 1700 and basically be looked at as an equal?
Well, regardless, these years, I mean, 2015, 1600, 1865, the year 1200, whatnot, that doesn't mean anything. You either have white supremacy or you don't. That's the answer. Whenever the doctrine of white supremacy became real and spread all over the world and became complete, not something that someone imagined, but it actually happened, that everybody who believes, every white person that believes in white supremacy was born into a system now, like it is now, where the system is already in place. So it has nothing to do with a breakdown in the what year this happened and what year that happened. The answer to the question is, since the beginning of white supremacy, you have had white supremacy. And that is absolute. And that means that a black person is not in charge of anything under white supremacy. A black person is a victim of white supremacy. A black person is a child in the system of white supremacy. There's no such thing as a black man and a black woman nowhere on the planet at any given moment of any day that they exist. You have black children. All black people are children in the system of white supremacy. Why? Why do I say that? I describe it in the Word Guide. A child is subject to men and women.
Wow.
All children are. They're dependent. And we are dependent children, every last one of us, since the beginning of white supremacy. We have no say-so about nothing.
All right. Thank you for your call, caller. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Check us out on WCRS FM 98.3 Wednesday and Sunday evenings. Blogs and podcasts are available. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. We go where you go. Radio, the way it should be heard. Hey, listen, stay right there. We're going to have more of your calls and something from maybe Malcolm X. All that and more coming up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is the premier internet radio platform offering 40-plus talk radio-style programs professionally produced, optimized for online distribution, featuring Columbus, Ohio on-air personalities. TalkTainmentRadio.com offers listeners diverse programming options covering topics such as arts and culture, love, life and relationships, technology, religion, paranormal activities, local and national politics, women's issues, alongside health and wellness. Listeners can access their favorite TalkTainmentRadio.com programs free of cost through the website. Download the TTR app to your cell phone and you can take us wherever you go. We have programs on demand to fit your schedule through our podcast. The address is TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks, the Ad Council, and TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS-FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Go ahead. Make my day.
You got the power.
Alrighty, welcome back to TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, radio the way it should be heard. You are listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neil A. Fuller, Jr., and I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. And if you would like to get in contact with us, you certainly can by calling 1-877-932-9766, or you can Gmail me at 7MrBobby@gmail.com, and I will be happy to read your email after I vet it. Okay, concerning last week's show, we apologize for the technical difficulties that we were having, but as you can see, we did get them resolved. So we apologize for that, but we also want to thank you for calling in and inquiring about your show. We got thousands of calls about that from all over the world, as a matter of fact. So we do want to thank you for that. Now, if you missed last week's show, and some of you did, you can go to the podcast here on TalkTainmentRadio.com, The Compensatory Concept with Neely Fuller, and you can get the full show right there. And speaking about the full show, listen, I personally think that it's a great compliment if you get the book that Mr. Fuller has written. It is called The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, a textbook workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of racism, which is white supremacy. And then there's a word guide that goes with, in addition, that goes with it, which will speak to questions or tell you how to identify codification. And Mr. Fuller explains that to you, asking questions and so forth. And you can get that by going to producejustice.com. No other situations that are out there that people are trying to duplicate or saying or donate to this situation. You can't do that, only right here. So if you see that come up through cartoons, which I have seen of Mr. Neely Fuller and people doing all kind of things, you would be surprised at some of the things that people are doing, trying to get in or hook up and saying that they're with Neely Fuller. No, that is not true. That is not true. You can only get it right now from producejustice.com. And Neely Fuller's crew has set up where you can get it. I have my copy right here. I'm looking at it. So if you have any, if you say you found something in the book on a certain page, I can go to it. I'm quite sure that Neely Fuller has his book there also, so he can go right to it, and he will be happy to answer your question. From Malcolm X, Malcolm X addressed the situation that you see what's going on right now with black men being gunned down. It's been more, I can't even tell you how many years America's problem is race. That's all there is to it. But he addressed this issue in 1964 in a speech in Los Angeles, California, when suspected race soldiers stormed a Muslim mosque and killed several black men. They just stormed it and killed several black men. And Malcolm spoke to that issue. I listened to the speech. I personally love Malcolm X. I listened to the speech. And when you listen to it, it's just as if he is speaking today. That's how relevant he was then and how relevant he is now to address the situation. And there's something that we must do about that. Okay. Speaking about let's doing something about it, remember 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you call if you want to get in contact with the show, or 7 at Gmail me at 7MrBobby@gmail.com, and I'll try to be on the stick for you. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Line number 5, you are on live with Neely Fuller Jr. What is your question?
Morning to you and Dr. Neely Fuller. We always enjoy your show. And, you know, also Marvin Gaye had a lot of messages in his music also. That's relevant for today. I'm trying to remember one of those songs talks about police brutality in one of his songs. But my uncle is in his 90s, and he looked at a news show. It was a foreigner was going on. It was three black police officers, and there were four white police officers. And they were talking about their experiences. They talked about, yes, there are rogue police officers in their mix, and the former police officers, they're retired, but those three white police officers are resigning. It's because they fear for their life, and they said that they were good police officers that did the right thing. And the reason why they fear for their life is because with all the mess going on in the world, the killings of black men by rogue cops, they feel that they can be, the tables can turn and they can be sniped. You know, the people's concern and start just, you know, killing them. I guess an eye for an eye, as my uncle say. So my question was, Dr. Neely Fuller, could that be a revolution like that? I hope and pray that it's not. But could that really happen? Because these three police officers are resigning this year. And you have a blessed day enjoying your show. Power to the people.
All righty. Mr. Fuller, you care to respond to that, please?
I'm trying to get the gist of the question again. They're saying there's going to be a revolution, I mean, on account of the law enforcement officers. That's what she's
saying?
Well,
some of them, I guess, were going to resign because of the backlash that some of this is happening. If somebody understood the question, Gmail me, and I could get that question to Mr. Fuller. So we'll go on to the next one. This is a... let's see. Somebody just sent me a Gmail. Says, they're asking you a question. Said, Mr. Neely Fuller, may you try PayPal, which accepts payment in most countries? Do you know anything about that, Mr. Fuller?
I'm having people look into all of that.
Okay.
Because I don't have time and the wherewithal to look into the details myself. But I'm having someone look into all of that so that I can get that done.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, James Keller. You heard it right there. That's what Mr. Fuller is trying to do, having people looking at it. Okay, let's go to line number four. Okay, number four, you are on. You're live. What is your question for Mr. Neil E. Fuller, Jr.?
Okay, Mr. Fuller, how is it not self-defense to kill a person that you know is a white supremacist?
How is what now?
How is it not self-defense to kill a person that you know is a white supremacist?
I'm still not getting the question. How do what?
How is it self-defense?
How is it not
self-defense?
Self-defense to kill someone that you know is a white supremacist?
How can you have self-defense against someone who you know is a white supremacist?
I mean, how is it not self-defense to kill someone that you know is a white supremacist?
Okay, did you get the question, Mr. Fuller?
No, I don't.
Okay, she's saying how is it not self-defense to kill a person who is a white supremacist?
Oh, how is it not self-defense to kill a person who is a white supremacist?
Yes.
Well, if you kill anybody willfully and deliberately, what I have in my book, if you go out and kill anybody willfully, deliberately, and unjustly, then you should kill yourself. That's even Stephen.
But if it's self-defense.
That should be. But now,
but if it's
if it's self-defense, if you defend yourself against anyone, yes, within the laws that are given of self-defense, you can kill someone who's trying to kill you. I mean, that's the law of compensation.
Yeah,
that's the law of self-defense. So that's what you do.
Yeah,
hello?
White supremacists are trying to kill black men every day. So how is it not self-defense if black men go out and kill them?
No, I don't advocate anybody to willfully, deliberately going out and killing anybody. Unless...
In self-defense?
In self-defense, yes, but I'm saying you have a situation where a person is at that moment trying to kill you. Now, if the person
is
running...
That's what the race soldiers are doing.
Say that again?
That's what the race soldiers are doing.
Yes. But see, you don't know who that is until the person does it.
It's on video.
She's saying that the videos show that the race soldiers or suspected race soldiers are killing black men, and don't the black men, as I understand, have a right to defend themselves against?
Yes, but you're going to have to answer to someone for having done that.
If you're defending yourself,
it's up to the individual to make that decision. My decision, now this is what I advocate. Anyone who has a badge and gun and who is designated being a law enforcement officer, I don't know whether the person is a race soldier or not, just because the person is white. So I am going to comply with that person, and the person may kill me, because if the person is a race soldier, the person may intend to kill me and actually do that. But I only find that out when they are actually in the process of doing it, which means there's nothing I can do at that point, because that's what race soldiers do. That's the situation. I'm answering the question. That's what the person does. We're in a war, so you have imposters in a war. You have subversives in a war. You have people who are acting like they are pretending to be for justice, but that you find out at the last minute that they are not. But in that minute, that last minute, what you are doing is looking at a blazing gun. It's too late for you to make that decision. That's why I'm saying you have to find out who these race soldiers are before they put on that uniform.
Or after they know now.
You have to do that. That is the only logical and neat way of doing it. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you have chaos out here.
Okay.
You have people just killing people, I mean, you know, on suspicion that you can't prove or that is unwarranted. There are a lot of white people who may not be race soldiers.
Mm.
You can assume that they might be, but mm-hmm. then, on the other hand, they might not be.
Okay, we're going
so
to
have to deal with a very complicated situation mm-hmm. there. They deliberately make it complicated.
Okay, we're going to have to leave that one there because we have many calls to do. Thank you for your call, caller. Mr. Bobby, email, somebody just wrote, but you can't kill just because the person is a supremacist. Well, I don't know about that one. But we're certainly not advocating going out killing somebody. Not at all. And speaking
whomever
about killing,
does it does that alone? And another thing about killing people, that's a part of the code. No person who kills anybody should make it a secret.
Mm.
That thing about secret killing has got to stop all over the world. There's
yes.
no such thing as a person being killed and nobody knows who did it, or just a few people know who did it, or maybe only the person who did the killing knows who did it.
Mm.
No, you kill somebody, you should be the first person in the world to stand up and say, yes, I did it. Anybody don't like it, come and see me.
Hmm.
And that's anybody that kills anybody.
Wow.
No killing of a person should ever be secret from anybody.
Hmm. Well, tell that to the people who put sheets over their head. But now I guess they have.
Oh, yes, but I'm saying, you kill somebody, I mean, own up to it. You're big enough to do it, stand by your work.
Mm.
That's in the Word Guide. It's a term called stand by your work.
Mm-hmm.
And killing is serious business.
So instead
of, if you kill somebody, don't run and hide under your grandmother's porch or anything like
mm-hmm.
that and make it look like somebody else did it. No, you stand right there and say, I did it, so what?
So instead of putting sheets over their head, they have entered into the police force and become race soldiers.
I'm not just talking about
yeah.
what you call race soldiers. I'm talking about people, period.
People, period.
No
right.
killing should be secret from anybody.
None. You're listening to The Compensatory Concept, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. I am the co-host, Mr. Bobby, and if you want to get in contact with the show, you can by calling 1-877-932-9766, or you can Gmail me at 7MrBobby@gmail.com. Don't forget to get your copy of the United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, a workbook, a textbook workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of racism, which is white supremacy. And there's a word guide, an additional word guide that goes with it. And you can pick that up by going to producejustice.com. And all the information is there for you to get it. And Mr. Fuller has addressed the question about overseas action. He's working on that. He and his staff are working on that to get it so that you can receive your copies worldwide. And maybe in a few months they'll have it set up for that to happen. Okay, let's go to line number 5. What is your call for Neely Fuller, Jr.? You are on live.
Hello?
You are on live.
Hi, I'm Mr. Fuller. Why is it that you can't solve any problem without solving the problem of racism, white supremacy? Like, why does it always lead back to racism, white supremacy?
Why is it what?
Why is it that you can't solve any problem on the planet without first solving the problem of racism, white supremacy?
Well, you can solve a lot of small problems, but like I say on the back of the textbook, no major problem. And I call major problems, say, like economics, education. Just look at economics anywhere in the world where non-white people are involved. It's a mess. I mean, right now in Liberia and whatnot, they have not only a disease problem, they have a huge economic problem. Why? Because they're trying to spend all the money trying to fight something called Ebola. So there's no money for highways and food and all like that. You got to go and beg for it. And who do you do the begging to? Directly, indirectly, to the people who have everything. That's the white supremacists.
Hmm.
You got to beg them. Please come, help us to fight the disease, help us to build some highways, help us to get the food to market before it spoils. what food is left. I mean, we're going to starve here. See what I mean? You got to ask. The white supremacists, they run the world. We got to face that. It's not some parts of the world that escapes that. If you have color in your skin, you are a child, completely dependent on what the white supremacists do or don't do. That's what white supremacy means. We usually think of white supremacists being six white guys in a station wagon drinking beer and yelling the N-word. That's not white supremacy. That's just some, you know, guys out on a binge. I mean, you know, that's all. I mean, making a lot of noise. White supremacy is an entire government system of the entire world. We have to understand that and stop talking about it like it's racial incidents. Everything is a racial incident. Every move that everybody makes on the planet 24 hours a day, you're in the midst of a racial incident. Why? Because racism dominates the entire world. It's the only government that's on the planet right now, the government of white supremacy. That's what we have. There is nothing else.
And there is. Thank you for your call, caller. And there is document references to the AIDS virus being created in particular Fort Detrick, Maryland, and also Ebola, which I understand there was a patent on it. Why would you get a patent on something, you know, like that? But there's a patent on it. In other words, it was a genetically created disease.